morning, the Gemara said, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, that Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, they were standing before the king, Nebuchadnezzar, would force themselves not to laugh and not to engage in sicha and not to sleep and not to relieve themselves. Rashi said, min ha-sicha, shelo yu mesaprim dvarim v'teilim, they would not speak dvarim v'teilim, they shelo yidganu b'fnei ha-melech, so that the king would not look down on them. Yesterday, very quickly to summarize what we said yesterday, so there's no misunderstanding. Yesterday, we discussed the meaning of dvarim v'teilim, and another expression that appears in Gemara in Yoma Yud Tet Amud Bet and Sukkah Chaf Chet Amud Aleph, which is Sichat Chulin, which Rashi defines as silly or pointless talk. And we noted that the Shulchan Aruch, first of all, the Ramah in Yerodea Siman Reish Mem Vav, says that Sichat Chulin is always prohibited, which is seems to be Rashi's reading of the Gemara in Yoma, as opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel, who said Sichat Chulin is prohibited when you're learning Torah. Rashi simply defines Sichat Chulin as any silly, pointless talk. And the Rabbah, who often paskins like Rashi, paskins that Sichat Chulin defined, which Rashi defines as silly, pointless talk, is always asr. Shulchan Aruch, in Arachayim Simen Kuf Chav Daled, says that Sichat Chulin is usher during Chazar Sashatz and is a very grave sin. He doesn't use that language anywhere else. And we saw two different definitions. Now, the Shulchan Aruch usually passes like the Rambam, not like Rashi. And we saw two different explanations in the commentaries on the Rambam on what Sichat Chulin might mean. According to one interpretation, anything that's not Torah study is Sichat Chulin. According to the other explanation, the Rambam would agree with Rashi that Sichat Chulin means only silly, pointless talk. And I said, consult your local Orthodox rabbi for interpretation of Shulchan Aruch regarding not talking during Chazar Sashatz. Is all talking prohibited? Is all talking except studying Torah prohibited? Or is all talking permitted except silly, pointless talk, however you're going to define silly, pointless talk, which obviously we're not going to do here in this shir. And since this is not a halacha shir, that is how we left it. And we've now been yotzei forever our obligation to talk about talking in shul, and we will now move on and never talk about that subject again, bli neder, and Bezrat Hashem. Today, we will talk about talking in general, okay? Not talking about specifically talking in shul, talking in general. Since Rashi seems to imply, or says actually pretty clearly, that in those days, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, would have looked down on somebody who engaged in pointless talk. So it's an opportunity to see how Chazal see talking in general. So the Rambam, in Perash Mishnayos, Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, near the end, as I'm sure you know, in different Perkei Avos, the Mishnayos are numbered differently. But in this one, it's Mishnah Yud Zayin, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Zayin. Shimon Beno Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Vena Chachamim, my entire life, I grew up among the Chachamim, v'lo matzati laguf tov mishtika, and I did not find good for the body from silence. Now, there, if you look in different Mishnayos and different Sidurim, you'll see there are two different girsos here. One is what I just read, lo matzati laguf tov mishtika. The other is lo matzati laguf tov elashtika. The words lo matzati laguf tov elashtika clearly means I did not find anything good for the body except silence. The version L'matzati laguf tov mishtika could have two different meanings, and commentaries give it two different meanings. One is, I did not find anything similarly to l'matzati laguf tov elashtika. I did not find anything better for the body than silence. Or it could mean, I did not find any good coming to the body from silence, meaning silence is bad. Two different interpretations, and mefarshim, different mefarshim, interpret it different ways. And we'll come back, time permitting, we'll come back to that at the end. The Mishnah continues. V'lo midrash hu haikar elamase. Learning is not the main thing, doing is the main thing. V'chol amarved v'ri mevichet. The more one talks, he increases his chance of sin. Okay, period. That's the end of the Mishnah. So the Rambam on this Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, says, Ki kasher marbeh adam dvarav chotei bechleit. When a person talks a lot, he will surely sin. Lefi shevadai yeh bedvarav lefachot milah achat shenari aleihem there. Because if you talk a lot, you're surely going to say something you shouldn't say. And then he goes on and says a little bit farther, mi'ut ha'dibur moreh al kvod ha'mishpacha ve'heyot ha'dam yuchas. A person who speaks less, it's a sign of, it's an honor for the family and a sign of good yichus. This is what should be on shidduch resumes. I don't talk. People in my family don't talk. It should be a good thing. It's a sign, Rambam says that not talking a lot is a sign of a good pedigree.
Then he quotes a sefer called Sefer Amidos, which was written by Aristotle,
which says that I investigated speech, and I have found that it should be divided into four categories. The Rambam is going to say after this, I say that according to our Torah, speech is divided into five. So Harishon, the first one, Dibur shu kulo nezek lishum toelet, speech which is all harmful and serves no purpose. For example, cursing people and profanity. And he calls this type of speech shtut muchlat, absolute insanity. It serves no purpose whatsoever. The chelak hashini, the second type of speech, dibur sheyesh bo nezek mitzad echad, toel mitzad acher, speech that could be harmful, but also is beneficial. For example, if you praise somebody in front of his enemy, so on the one hand, you've praised him, made him feel good, that's good. But at the same time, you've given his enemy an opportunity to speak ill about him. That's what you think about him? Well, I know such and such. And in fact, Chavetz Chaim paskins that one should not do that. It is at least avak lashon hara. It leads to lashon hara. Because if you speak highly of somebody in a context where you know people are, you should know people are going to respond negatively, you're, in a sense, you're inviting lashon hara. Therefore, Sefer Mito says, since there is harm from this speech, one should not engage in it either. Hashlishi, the third type, dibur she'ein bo toelet lo nezek, speech which serves no purpose and also does no harm. Kegon rov sipurei hamon, this is most of what people talk about. So he gives examples. How was the wall of this city built? How was that palace built? Look how beautiful so-and-so's house is. Look what great fruits such-and-such country has. If you're talking to somebody who's looking for a job, and as a farmer, and he wants to start a citrus plantation, and you say, well, in that country, they have great citrus plantations, then it's not talk that has no purpose. He's talking about most of what people sit around and schmooze about. This would presumably include talking about sports, talking about politics, although talking about politics could lead to lashon hara, but most of what people talk about is in this category.
I have a question. Does it go on the intent of the talker when the person is listening? So let's say, for example, the fruit, the person could say, the talker could have his mind more about Maseka, you know, about the fruit, or even the politics, it could be about. The talker could have in mind discussing the hand of Hashem manipulating events. What does it go on the person who is listening? Because I just interpret it as chit chat.
They're two separate questions. One is, should I be talking? The other is, should you be listening? So if I'm talking for a reason, then I'm okay talking. If you are not listening for a reason, then you shouldn't be listening. You should go off and do something else. Okay, the fourth category is things which are all productive, all good, which he says includes talking about science and talking about good midos, talking about things that help you earn a living. Those are all good things. He doesn't say anything about learning Torah because, again, he's
Aristotle.
So that's what the Rambam quotes from the Sefer Amidos. And the Rambam says, V'ani omer, and I say, Ki hadibur nechalak lefi chovat Torateinu l'chamisha chalakim. If you look at it from the perspective of the Torah, there are five types of speech. And they are that which you're commanded to speak, that which you're prohibited to speak, that which is distanced, that which is desirable, and that which is optional. First one, things that are mitzvos, kriyas haTorah, studying Torah, looking at commentaries, trying to understand the Torah. So all this is a mitzvah, as it says, v'dibar tabam, you should speak in them. So that's speech that we're required to engage in. At the opposite extreme, you have speech which is prohibited, which includes false testimony, lying, lashon hara, cursing, and there are many psukim in the Torah that warn about this, and this includes profanity and lashon hara. The third type is speech that a person should distance. It's not technically usur, it's not technically prohibited, but it serves no constructive purpose. And that includes most speech of most people. What happened here? How did it happen? Again, we're not talking about telling a story that you could learn a lesson from. Musr, talking about just the main schmoozing that most people do most of the time, serves no constructive. What happened in Buckingham Palace? What's going on with Prince, whatever his name is, wedding and all of that stuff. How did so-and-so make his money? How did so-and-so die? Again, if there's some constructive purpose to be served by talking about how so-and-so died, to avoid a bad behavior or to avoid a plague or something, we're not talking about that. Just talking about regular schmoozing. He says, this is what the Chachamim call Sicha Betela. Now, the Rambam we saw yesterday, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, I think it was Halacha Dalet, if I remember correctly, said that Rav, the sage Rav, never engaged in Sicha Betela. According to the Rambam, Sicha Betela means this ordinary schmoozing. V'chassidim mishtatlim ba'od litrachek midverim ele. Amru al Rav tamid revichia shel sach Sicha Betela miyamav. They said about Rav, the student of Rabbi Chiya, that he never engaged in Sicha Betela. And the commentaries point out that Mishnah Torah, he refers to him as Rav Tamid Rabbeinu HaKadosh, student of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, rather than Rabbi Chiya. We don't know the source of this story. Apparently it's an oral tradition that was passed down to the Rambam all the way from the time of Rav. It's not found in the Gemara. The fourth kind of speech is speech which is retsui, which is desirable. And this includes speaking about science and speaking about good midos. The Rambam held, I mentioned this before, the Rambam held that studying science is a prerequisite to knowing Hashem. You cannot know Hashem unless you know his creation. So the Rambam held very strongly. And so, therefore, he calls studying science here a desirable thing. Now, when the Rambam is talking about science, he's talking about the hard sciences, and also, as well as philosophy. He refers to hegyonot, which is philosophy, logic, inspiring speeches and songs, and telling stories about gdolim, about the good midos of chachamim. These are all desirable. It's desirable. They're not required. They're not prohibited. They're not neutral. They're desirable. These are all things that you can either come closer to Hashem from. This would be in your category of Marabu, actually, Masecha Hashem. How great are your wonders, Hashem? So talking about nature in a way that inspires you to believe in Hashem or to see Hashem's wonder, talking about Hashkacha Pratis, talking about Gdolim, talking good things about Gdolim, as opposed to Lashon Hara about Gdolim. Okay. All of those are desirable. And the fifth category is things that are optional, and that is anything relating to your personal needs and your job. You should talk about them to the extent necessary, and the less the better. Obviously, you have to talk about your work, you have to talk at work, but the less the better, the Rambam says.
Say anything about that. Love your fellow, talking to him, just to engage your other person, to feel that he's not socially isolated.
That could be a form of desirable talk, because you're doing a chesed, doing a mitzvah. He then goes on and says other things about talking, mentions, of course, the evils of Lashon Hara. He says, Lashon Hara, who sipur migra opni adam, umu mehem vashpat adam Yisrael, ve'eze ofen shiya mina hashpa. He defines Lashon Hara as speaking about the defects of people or lowering any Jew in any way. And avak Lashon Hara he defines as hinting to a person's defects. Those are really halachic terms, and as we know, there's Chofetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer.
Lashon Hara is that, or that is in the category of avak Lashon Hara?
That's his definition of avak lashon hara. But it could be, when we say hinting, so as he pointed out from Aristotle, if you praise somebody in front of his enemy, you're hurting him. So that could be avak lashon hara, even though you are not personally hinting to someone's defects, but you're talking in a way that will cause someone else to think about his defects. That might be included in avak lashon hara. Also, a little tangential, but he talks about speaking Hebrew. And he says that, and the Rambam wrote most of his Sfarim in Arabic, except for Mishneh Torah, which he wrote in Hebrew. But all of his other Sfarim, or most of his other Sfarim, Mor Nevuchim, Perush Mishnayos, that we're learning right now, he wrote in Arabic. Rambam says that Hebrew should not be used except for lofty things. And it should be, other things should be done in other languages. So Rambam would, it seems from here at least, be in favor of, you know, at work speaking some other language. Rambam did not speak Yiddish. I don't know if he spoke Ladino, which is the Spanish, the Sephardi Yiddish, so to speak. But I don't know when Ladino was invented, so I don't know. So that is the Rambam's summary of speech. Maral quotes this in Nativ Hashtika, the Way of Silence, chapter 1. And Rambam, the Maral rather, says some other things leading up to that. He says that Maral explains that speech, well, we know a person has a spiritual side and a physical side. And he says that wisdom is spiritual. Wisdom is connected with the person's soul. And foolishness is connected with the person's body, because it's the opposite of, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom and spirituality. He says that one reason why silence is preferable is because a person can be wise without talking, cannot be foolish without talking. If you, there's expression, as you know, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. But the Maral is saying something a little different, which is, as long as you keep quiet, you are not a fool, because foolishness, since it is the opposite of spirituality. Foolishness only exists in connection with the physical world. And as long as you keep away from the physical world by keeping your mouth shut, you are not a fool. Wisdom, on the other hand, wisdom can be in your thoughts. So wisdom can exist without talking. And therefore, a wise person a wise person will talk less. Until you verbalize them, obviously a person can have foolish thoughts, but they don't categorize a person as a fool unless if he doesn't verbalize them. If he doesn't verbalize them, then
he can still be a fool, but nobody else knows.
No, that's not what the Maral's saying. The definition of a fool is a person who's connected. The definition of a fool is somebody who is strongly connected to the physical world. Definition of a wise man is somebody who's strongly connected to the spiritual world. Thought is spiritual. Therefore, foolish thought, it's as if, the morale is saying, it's as if it doesn't exist. Obviously, we know it exists. It has no impact on the world at all, because until it's verbalized and brought into the physical world, it's considered to have no existence. Now, obviously, a person who sits around all day and engages in foolish thought is not going to be a spiritual person. But his point is, you can grow in spirituality without opening your mouth. You cannot grow in foolishness without opening your mouth. That's his point. He's not encouraging a person to sit around all day and engage in foolish thoughts. Obviously, that's a bad thing. He then goes on and says that there actually are two different ways of looking at silence. On the one hand, silence is a good thing. On the other hand, he says that according to one medrash, absolute silence is bad because, this relates to your question before, person does have an obligation to be somewhat involved in society. We're not hermits, so each of us has his own mountaintop and has no dealings with other people. You do have to be part of society, which includes talking to people. Hopefully talking to people in a way that makes them feel good. As Revolba writes in Mamare Yemei Ratzon, is on the Sefer on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that speech was created to make people feel good. So a person who uses speech to make people feel bad is misusing speech. And he develops the whole idea. Obviously, I'm taking one sentence out of context. But so a person does have to be involved in society and does have to talk to people. So absolute speech, absolute silence is a bad thing. On the other hand, silence is very important. As I mentioned, there are two different versions of the Mishnah. One says, Lo matzati laguf tov ela shtika, I did not find anything good for the body except silence. The other is, I did not find anything good for the body coming from silence. In other words, silence, according to that, the Mishnah is saying silence is a bad thing. Rav Kook explains that version of the Mishnah. He says that man's main ability, so you hear two different things that people say. What distinguishes man from animals? One, people say, is our ability to think critically and think about wisdoms. And now there's all kinds of research showing that animals can analyze certain things and think critically too. I don't think anybody seriously thinks an animal is ever going to win a Nobel Prize in literature or biology or physics or whatever, economics, whatever. That animals do not engage in that kind of thought, that critical, intelligent analysis that humans can engage in. That is one of the things that distinguishes humans. The other thing that distinguishes humans is talking. So which is the main thing that makes us human, or how do those two things relate? So Rav Kook says that the main trait of humans is the ability to think. However, since we are physical beings, until we've translated that thought into speech, it's incomplete. Because when we're thinking, it's very close to what the Maharal is saying, when we're thinking, we're still in the spiritual realm. When we translate our thoughts into words, then we've brought our words into the physical realm. And that's why the Mishnah says, I never found anything good coming from silence. Because man must, in order to be fulfilled as a physical being, in order to raise our physical being to a spiritual level, we need to translate our thoughts into speech. and not doing so, absolute silence is bad. That's how Rav Kook explains this Mishnah, and he ties it in to something we've discussed in the Shiur previously, which is the idea of Tchias HaMesim having a body. So, I mentioned before, the placement of Agarata in particular place is not haphazard. So we see here a little connection to between our Gemara that alludes to speech and it, the fact that it's in a section of the Gemara that's dealing with Tchias HaMesim. We have not had a two dots yet. We're still talking in some form about Tchias HaMesim. And when the Gemara changes subjects, you see the printer puts in two dots to say, we're changing subjects now. We haven't had a two dots. We're still in the subject of Tchias HaMesim. Because Tchias HaMesim is the ultimate perfection of the body and the soul together. And that's what speech is. Proper speech is taking the thoughts of the soul and converting them into something physical. Vilna Gaon discusses question, why do people feel such a great need to talk nonsense? It's a great need to waste our time just sitting and talking and talking and talking about unimportant things, not talking about even things that are usser, but as we saw, the Rambam says there's speech which is a mitzvah, there's speech which is desirable, there's speech which is neutral, which includes most of what people talk about, there's speech which is to be criticized, and there's speech which is actually usser. Why do people feel the need to sit around talking about, you know, sports, politics, architecture, whatever? And again, not talking about when it's done for purposes of Maravu Masach Hashem. Just talking about schmoozing. Why do people feel the need to schmooze? So the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Mishlei, says that everything that a person does results in some kind of spiritual force, either a good one or a bad one. And that's what it means in Pirkei Avos. We say mitzvah goreris mitzvah, and avera goreris avera. Mitzvah brings another mitzvah, and an avera brings another avera. When a person does anything, he awakens a spiritual force that attaches itself to him and helps him do that thing again. So if he did something good, then this spiritual force helps him do a good, more good things. If he does something bad, this negative spiritual force helps him do more bad things. So, and he says that this spirit is not pleased until it doesn't rest until it's fulfilled its purpose. Its purpose in coming into the world is either to help you do more mitzvos or help you do more averos. Now, every force, to borrow an expression from physics, every force has an equal and opposite force, which really is what we call brichira, free choice. In order to have free choice, the world has to be balanced. The good forces, the forces that encourage us to do good have to be balanced with the forces that encourage us to do bad. Some svarim say that's why the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, the power of nevuah disappeared. Because the Gemara says that the Chachamim davened for the Yetzer Hara, for idolatry, to be taken away from us. And when a very powerful negative force was taken away, God also had to take away a very powerful positive force to keep the world balanced. Because if the world's not balanced, we have no free choice. You know, this is the question, you know, why doesn't a person get zapped by lightning when he sins? Because if Shmerel sins and I see him get zapped by lightning, that's the end of my Bechira. Right? I'm never going to have free choice again. So that's why God doesn't do that. The world has to be. I'm sorry? Of course, that goes without saying. But, okay, so therefore, there is no greater mitzvah, the Vilna Gaon says, there's no greater mitzvah than studying Torah. And when a person studies Torah, a force descends on him that will encourage him and help him to study more Torah. The world has to be balanced between good and bad. Therefore, there is a very, very powerful force that encourages us to waste our minds and our speech. And that is the force that leads people to waste time, incredible amounts of time, schmoozing. Okay. Again, as Maral said, a certain amount of being part of society is important. A person has to talk and schmooze sometimes and, you know, be friendly. But the Vilna Gaon is saying that the reason that there's a incredible desire to waste hours and hours and hours and hours schmoozing is because it's the opposite force of the desire that should exist, which is to do the greatest mitzvah, which is a mitzvah that involves thinking and talking as well, which is to learn Torah. Have a good day.